Someone called this morning from Vegas and said their daughter had been in the hospital overnight and wondered if she could fax her proxy in. I really think she's entitled to it. Thought I'd get your comment. Okay. Let's move forward on the paperwork, the legal description, legal documents. I'm very convinced that neither proposal is in any final form. I don't believe all the issues have been addressed. I don't believe there's any concurrence or for those who have studied it, who have worked on it, and some of you may also have ideas that in redoing the bylaws and CCNRs after 30 years, no question they need to be updated. I think the approach was improper, and that's caused lots of frustration on the thing as we have moved forward. I counted the words in the blue and pink book that most of you got, and there's 7,200 words in one book and 7,300 words in the other. Some of our interest was in getting information from you that we didn't need a big volume of rules and regulations at Deer Springs Ranch. Many of you bought here knowing the two or three page documents that existed then and have indicated you have an interest in still letting the ranch go without a lot of heavy documents. Documents of mine were cut from the 7,000 down to the 3,000, 3,500 type explanation and guide for us to work by. I think that, again, they still need a lot more work with the hope that the board of directors can consider the items, research them, take input from some of you, and come up with a set that can be approved sometime soon. In the documents that some worked on, all of us have worked on them over the year, but more specifically just at the last, one of the things, and I'm only going to mention about three items on mine, there's been a lot of email back and forth that some have an idea that they have not been able to read my presentation in four or five areas. The definition of a unit. Somebody's got the idea that I have already separated membership from lots. In here, it says very clearly in several places that a property unit at Deer Springs consists of 20 acres or more of land and is connected to one membership in the Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association. I dropped out one word, and there's good logic, for dropping out a word called inseparable. And if our whole program is fragile enough and does not have enough status or control, that by dropping one word, it blows everybody's mind. So the word I suggest being dropped for several reasons that we've learned over the 30 years. I dropped the word inseparably connected, and that has upset a few of the people. It still has the same definition that we created to begin with, that these are 20-acre parcels and they do have a membership. Some of them never had a membership. Some of them still do not have a membership. And some refuse to accept that. But anyway, the documents are here. Those of you who want to see any of the original documents, get back to the original concept, I'd be happy to document and show which units do have and which units do not have, and then work to have an easy conclusion as to what we want to do from now into the future. But that was one of the items. The item, instead of just allowing in a common space, the request was that some commercial things be allowed here on the airport. We left out that paragraph where it only dealt with the airport, but that the board of directors, with your help, might consider other things on the ranch. I think that we're all still kind of skirting the idea that the budget is not covering. In my family, it really doesn't help when the bank account is down to zero for me to tax myself, for me to reassess myself. I think any of you, and all of you are in business one way or the other, I think the solution is somebody's got to create more cash flow to cover the things that's needed. We are not a taxing entity. We can't go to the county or the city. I think we've got to consider some cash-generating possibilities to cure the problem on our budget. And that may be done through the common area. There's other places. I didn't think you folks needed to be criticized if you dumped your ashes out or if you didn't keep your garbage cans clean. And things like that I think are inappropriate to have in our legal documents. I think there's a lot of duplication, a lot of redundancy in the articles. I'm alarmed that the things that I think any one of you could have done or would have done to make them so that they're more usable. One thing that I will mention, I think as far as each of you owning a lot, each of you, that's the reason you're here, is because you paid money to own a lot at Deer Springs Ranch. I think that each of you deserve to vote. And I think it's morally wrong if the board of directors has the opportunity to say, you can't vote, I'm not going to let you vote. In fact, because of certain reasons, not only can you not vote now, but for the next 60 days, you cannot participate in ranch things because we as the board of directors have that control over you. I think that's wrong. If I don't pay my taxes on my home, I still can vote, as all of you can. And that's been an issue over the years. I think every individual should be allowed to vote. And that's whether you pay your dues or whether you don't pay your dues. If you don't pay, you'll lose it or something will happen to you later on. That does not prevent people from voting and expressing their interest in their investment. So I think if some of you have questions, I don't want to take a lot of time on this issue. There are individual things that we certainly can talk about. Be delighted to visit with you on the paperwork that controls the ranch, because you as members are the ones that need to help write it.
Thank you. We kind of got out of order a little bit here. I would like to run this issue the same manner in which I had done it previously. Ken Lent has been asked to do a little introduction as to, again, a reason why the need to have the legal documents updated, etc. So I'm going to ask Ken to do that. the first ones on your ballot was discussing the legal documents that the team from Dale had put together. After Ken has finished, I will then have Phil present the information from the legal committee at that point. So, Ken, would you do that, please?
Well, Phil did a pretty good job when we started out in explaining why it was that it was...
Thank you. We kind of got out of order a little bit here. I would like to run this issue the same manner in which I had done it previously. Ken Lent has been asked to do a little introduction as to, again, a reason why the need to have the legal documents updated, etc. So I'm going to ask Ken to do that. The first ones on your ballot was discussing the legal documents that the team from Dale had put together. After Ken has finished, I will then have Phil present the information from the legal committee at that point. So, Ken, would you do that, please?
Well, Phil did a pretty good job when we started out in explaining why it was that it was... It seemed necessary to go ahead and review the bylaws and the PCRs, and most of that was because we started asking for some advice from a lawyer in association law, whether it was legal for us to do some of the activities that we were doing here, and what grounds we had to stand to do that. Also, Barbara had questions as well on the same point as managing the ranch, what her the basis was for making some of the decisions that she had to make as ranch manager. And so, in reviewing the bylaws as they were, the lawyer gave the advice that we needed to update some of it to meet Utah code, some of it to meet the various new issues that had come up in terms of legal law and so forth over the past 20 years or so since the bylaws were basically originally constructed, not really changed that much during that period of time. As a result, we had a set of new bylaws presented to us at the last meeting, and many of us thought that there were things in there, such as the hunting restrictions and some others, that we felt could be worded better for everybody. And the decision was made to form a committee to review these and then present them by last Christmas, and we found out it was a much bigger task than we ever imagined it was going to be to go over this. And there obviously were... some very basic differences between members within the group. Some of them within each smaller group as it broke up, and some of them within the whole group is together. But so a lot of time has been put into this, and I mean, probably hundreds of man hours have been put into trying to make this thing a resolution. A lot of us have driven a lot of ways, you know. Every meeting was a 1,000-mile round trip for me, just about. So it was important for us to make sure that this was done well. And we had finally came to the very end, and then behind it there were just a few points that we differed on, and we decided to let people look at both sides. And so both sides are being presented today. And these basically are the best that we felt we could come up with during the time. But I kind of agree with Dale. I think that there's still polishing that needs to be done with this, and they still need to be reviewed. I had an attorney review the new law and the one that existed, and he said, well, basically it depends on what you want as members of the ranch. And any time that we set up a bylaw or a protective covenant, a lawyer would do it according to what he feels the people in the organization want. And this is what it amounts to. And so these could be worded 1,000 different ways if each one of us wanted to have our own particular needs met, you know. But that's not going to work for us as a group. We have to find out something that works for everybody. So anyhow, Dale's presented one end of it, and I think Phil's going to present another one. And then I'm hoping you'll think very carefully about these issues and then vote on them today. So.
Thank you, Ken. All right, Phil Hall, would you give us the other side in terms of the legal documents also prepared? If you have those legal documents with you, you might want to kind of look at some of the areas that he's talking about or take a few notes and put some ideas together.
Who did not bring their documents with them? They were in the mailing packet. Did you get a voting? Oh, they didn't bring them. Okay. I have 10 copies here of extra copies. And so while those are being passed out, those that might need it. I'll have Barbara. They're
All right, Phil Hall, would you give us the other side in terms of the legal documents also prepared? If you have those legal documents with you, you might want to kind of look at some of the areas that he's talking about or take a few notes and put some ideas together.
Who did not bring their documents with them? They were in the mailing packet. Did you get a voting? Oh, they didn't bring them. Okay. I have 10 copies here of extra copies. And so while those are being passed out, those that might need it, I'll have Barbara. She has got to separate. The whole issue began, as Ken has talked about, a little bit when we were trying to decide if we could sell Lot 1, if it was really part of the common property or not, and sought legal advice after the board could not had some challenges on it and could not decide. And that got us into this whole legal thing, and because it was pointed out to us, there were a lot of shortcomings in our documents. And as I read the minutes to you from last year's annual meeting, and the attorney explained it last year, there was a great need. We were doing a lot of things out of tradition here, and some of them had no legal basis. And if members were to challenge it, very well could be challenged, and we might be in no man's land, nowhere. And spend a lot of money hashing it out in the courts. So the attempt... knows all of the different little intricacies of our ranch and how to customize these documents. So we went from the best attorney that we could hire with a broad document covering all the bases and including Utah statutes that needed to be in there, and then we've been customizing them to the needs of the ranch all along. Hopefully, I had hoped that we could send that out with the mailer last December, but as Ken said, it was not doable. There were just too many things to discuss. At any rate, that's what's been happening all through the year, is as we hear things from members, and as there was a legal committee formed, Dale was a co-chairman with me, and so we talked about these things. We had extra meetings besides board meetings. In fact, the board meetings would get bogged down trying to go over these things, and so we formed a legal committee. And so the attempt was to customize these needs. Now, up until July 15th of this year, we'd made a lot of changes, and there was just one legal committee. At that point, Dale informed us that he couldn't support these, and so the legal committee kind of split. And I don't want you to think of this as my version of this. This is a version. If you look at both documents, probably whatever the word count is, 3,000, 4,000. 80% of it, or even 85% of it, is the same in both documents. That's because that's what all the legal committees were doing. And we had gotten to a lot of consensus on a lot of things.
and it eliminated things that didn't pertain to the ranch. Dale talks about ashes and things like that. Things that, you know, we live in a country setting out here that might not have pertained. So all of us, again, this isn't just Dale's stuff and my stuff. The legal committee was made up of lots of people and lots of input from you. So the documents then went separate ways and were tweaked a little bit here and there. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about now, is why I feel like those that you should support this group too. And one other thing. The group two version, is an attempt to meet the needs of the ranch, but to give the members as much input as possible into decision making. And it, where there's anything that's far reaching, then it calls for member input. There are some glaring differences between document two, what I'm talking about, and document one that Dale spoke about. The one is membership. And there are a number of places where the inseparable has been taken out, and where memberships can be separated from lot ownership in that document. In my, I don't want to say my, in Group 2's document, it's kept the way it's always been. There's only five lots that have been in question as to whether there were memberships or not, whether they've been moved in the past or not. Last year, the attorney said they're inseparable. In our protective covenants, it says they're inseparable. I won't go into that whole argument. Two of those have been sold, and the members opted to be members with us, just like all of us. That solved that problem. There's a third one that's kind of in limbo, and there's two more. Are they not the Manassee lots, which are up for sale? And probably when they sell, those people will want to be what they already are, in my opinion, and in the attorney's opinion, members anyway. And so my thing is, why change? Why weaken the language? Why weaken, set up the possibility of separating memberships from lot ownership? Here's one scenario, and I think I put it in the stuff that you read. Say people start set. Say some. Oh, let me back up and say one other thing. We all live in a society of law, and we have laws to protect us from those who don't obey the laws. We have consequences for those who don't obey the laws. And the clearer the laws are, the more safe we all are from ourselves and from each other. And in our old documents, there are just lots of loopholes and things. But one major difference here between the two documents is the ability of the ranch to collect assessments, our assessment, our annual assessment. And what happens to people if they don't pay their assessments? If you don't pay your property tax, which is you can be foreclosed, the government can take your land. There are those in group one who feel it never should happen, and that memberships or annual dues cannot, in trying to collect it, you shouldn't be able to foreclose on that lot. I'm of a differing opinion, and I think, and I hope many of you are. And so one real important thing is, don't separate memberships from lots. Here's the scenario now that I gave you that background. Say, and we had a lot of past due assessments 3 or 4 years ago. We started to collect them, and that did allow us to do a lot of things. And those people that didn't agree and didn't want to pay, some of them sold and left. And now we have more members that say, hey, I'm going to pay my annual assessment. But anyway, say 50 members of the ranch say, well, there's no consequence if I don't pay my assessment. I'm going to keep the land. Go ahead and take my membership. I mean, if you can separate them. Where does that leave the rest of us? We're already talking about a tight budget. It puts the monkey on everybody else's back. And those people say, well, I don't care. And they still drive over our ranch roads. They still use a lot of our things. And we have no control over what they do, you know, because they say they're not members anymore. They surrender their membership. Or somebody that perhaps wants to be of great influence and see certain things happen around the ranch goes around and for a dime on a dollar buys these supposedly memberships that can be bought. And then you're outvoted. You think the proxy thing is not too hot, this would be a lot worse. And there would be those that would lease their membership or sell their membership. And there would be those that would scoop them up as fast as they could. And maybe they would want to generate money to pay those dues. I don't know. And that could lead to more commercialization of the ranch. So membership is key. And so why weaken our documents by taking out that inseparable clause? I ask you, we've had it all this time. It's not really, there's just, now there's only three lots that are supposedly in some question. And as they sell, people want to be a part of this. We don't need to accommodate those three lots for this problem and change the legal document. Now, member input. Group number one differs greatly from group number two in that in group number two it calls for an adoption of the rules and regulations that we've been governed by for the last approximately 3 years. In the other group, number one, they want the rules and regs to be promulgated as in the past by the board. As I came on to the board 3 years ago, and what I noticed in the past, I've been a member about 10 years, it seems like one board comes, things are changed. Another board comes, things are changed. There hasn't been a continuity, and that's why I pushed for kind of a five-year plan and those kinds of things. And so, and the members had not really much say in how the rules and regulations were ever set up. So granted, 3 years ago we made some sweeping changes in some rules and regulations to try and better the ranch. And of course they're not perfect, but we've all been living by them. And it has made incentive for more member usage. And since those were changed, by the way, the first year they were changed, membership coming to the ranch increased about 20%. And it's increased about 5% each year. So group one would say, no, let's not adopt the rules and regs that are in place now. Let's let the board decide what they're going to do. So we're back to the same old thing of changes a lot often. The group I represent, group two, calls for an adoption of the way they are now, but places in there the ability for the board, for the members to have say in that. And this is how it works. As the board goes through the year, they notice, hey, this rule or this reg, we've had a lot of complaints, or this worked, or this didn't work. And so we ought to change this. And so at the annual meeting, there might be, who knows, three or four proposals for certain changes to these rules and regs. And they're given to you in legal notice, and the majority of the members can approve those changes or not. And so we've got to start somewhere. I'm saying to you and asking for your vote for group two, saying we've got a pretty good system right now. It may not be perfect, but it's pretty good. Let's go with this and as a starting point, and each year we can tweak our rules and regs as we need to. Group one objects to some things in the rules and regs quite vehemently. And that's why they want it to be left up to the board. So that's another big difference. Membership is a big difference. Rules and regs is a big difference. Foreclosure is another big difference. Foreclosure for non-payment of dues. again, I just don't think it's fair for us to carry other people. We have a heart, and we look at those things, and the way we set it up was that if they don't pay this year, they don't pay their dues, at the end of the year, if the second year rolls around, then we can start to foreclose on their property. Foreclosure takes some time. They can cure this. They can pay their dues. But the rest of us are hurt by members that don't pay their dues. I mean, we talk about meeting our budget requirements. If everybody doesn't pay, we're hurt by that. So the legal documents in Group 2 sustain and keep intact many of the things that the state requires, because the reason the state legislature changed so many things and said this is the way you guys, all you associations, are going to do it, is because there were a lot of loose associations and people being taken advantage of, and that's why the legislature stepped in. And so for us to say we're above that, whether we want them in our documents or not, the legislature will impose them upon us if it ever comes to any court case. So you might as well know what those rules and things are now and have them clearly in front of us. Yeah, I'd like it if it were just a one- or two-page document. But, again, it's the whole idea of perfecting our documents so that each of you can feel secure in your property ownership. You feel secure that things will be run above board and that you have say in it. Also in here, in Group 2's documents, no right-of-ways, no property, no easements can be given away by the board. It calls for membership to have a three-fourths of the majority vote on those kinds of things, like the Meadow Canyon Road. Right now, the way our documents are, the board, they'd be challenged in court, I'm sure, but they'd have a board meeting and decide to just give away Meadow Canyon Road. Probably wouldn't go over very big, would it? But anyway, this is clarified and specified in Group 2's documents. It's not in Group 1. We went to great lengths with Larry's help to perfect the hunting part. And if you look in Group 2's documents, in numbers... I'm talking now, this is in the protective covenants. We separated out firearms. Firearms was a simple issue. In the documents we're under right now, it says you can't use a gun on the ranch. Well, actually, you can, and that could be challenged. And we're all regulated by gun usage and ownership by state and federal laws. We can't mandate, which there was an attempt to in the old things to say you can't use a gun, but you can. It would be challenged. And so we pretty well reiterate that in Group 2 documents. But then we go on to specifying in the next one, in hunting, the real mechanism of how that takes place and how you're protected, and how if you want to write a letter to the board, then there will be no hunting on your... And again, we customized it to the wishes of the members. You don't have to have fences, but the outfitters, and the ranch makes money from these outfitters. It's a good source of income, but they have to be accompanied, and it spells all of that out. And if you don't want them on your land, you can say so. Okay. I'm talking mostly about the protective covenants and restrictions right now. The thing about voting, whether you pay your assessment or not, and here also in our present rules and regulations, we have no sense of what does it mean to be a member in good standing. Okay. So that's in here. What is a member in good standing? Good standing means you obey the laws. You keep the covenants. You pay your... We don't have property tax, but you pay your assessments. Um, there are those sometimes who have multiple lot ownership that have not paid assessments in the past, and sometimes hold out paying the assessments until the week of or the day of the elections, and the ranch has not the use of that money through the year. That's become less of a problem, but it is a potential, and it is something that needs to be clarified, and that's clarified in Group 2's documents. And a board member cannot be above those things. You can't act on the board if after March, what is it, Barbara, 1st, you haven't paid your dues. Can you imagine being a board member and being on the board and making decisions for the membership and having the annual billing come, and then by the 1st of March you haven't paid your dues, you're delinquent? Should that person be acting on our board? I don't think so. Those are the kinds of little things. Camp 1 would say, oh, these documents are too restrictive to members. I'm saying they're member-friendly. They're protecting us from injustice. They're protecting us from those having to carry those that would have us carry them. And it's just like me and you. If we ride down the road, cops don't stop us if we're not speeding or if we're keeping the rules and the laws, you know. They're not detrimental. They're not user unfriendly. But if we get out of line, there is a way, and we know what the law is. That's what these documents are doing, clarifying what's right and not leaving things away to interpretation. So yeah, it takes a few words to do that, but it's not beyond the intelligence of anybody here to read them and understand them. I'm going to switch a little bit now to to the bylaws. The bylaws, again, reiterate the inseparable nature of ownership and an association membership, lot ownership. It also, in Group 1s, we encompass, I can't see now, the thing about proxies. Group 2 here, the group I'm representing, Group 2, feels like it is in the best interest for members to, it encourages member participation to require them to either, you don't vote if you don't want to, but vote, send it in, or be here. Again, many of our elections in the past have been totally changed. The votes are counted, and then in comes a big group of proxy votes. And talk about not member friendly. The whole thing is turned 180 degrees around from what all of you who took time to come here, that were interested enough in being here, that to voice your opinion. Your opinions just went down. Yes? They can't vote. I didn't say they can't vote. No, I didn't say, I'm not sure if I understood your question. I'm just saying, sometimes people will collect lots of proxies. And in the past, I'm just giving you an example, and I'm trying not to be too personal. I'm just trying to be matter-of-fact about it. And there are those who are new members. They don't know much about what's going on. And they rely on certain other people. Well, I can understand some of that anxiety they might have. But I believe that they would have more desire, they would dig and find out more about what's going on here if they had the vote, instead of being able to give away their vote to a proxy. And I'm not saying that this has been a terrible thing or a devious thing. I'm just saying it protects each of us to have our own individual say, and to those that care enough to participate, I think the reward should be your vote counts. There are, rather than you might not be as good a politician to go around and scurry up as many proxy votes. You know, you don't have to worry about that this way. This way, your vote counts as much as any other member's vote counts. And if it's not given up, they don't vote. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I hope that you will vote for Group 2's proposal. The fact of the matter is, we'll be lucky. I don't think either set will pass, and then we will, just so you understand, because we need 3/4 of the membership to vote for the Protective Covenant change, and we need 2/3, 66%, for the bylaw change. And again, I hope the proxies don't outweigh us here, but I encourage you to vote. And if we don't make it this time, there's the next, and then we will be governed by our old protective covenants and bylaws, which and actually we will be governed by the state's mandated things, even though you can't read them in your set of documents. We'll be held to that standard. And so I guess I've said enough.
All right. Thank you, Dale, and thank you, Phil, for the pros and cons on these, on this specific legal documents issue. The members of the legal committee had met on numbers of occasions. At this point, I'm going to open it up to discussion. Is there anything in particular that maybe was not covered that, as you have read through, that you find that you need to ask the panel or any specific individual? And your name, sir? Thank you.
Particularly given the fact that it's very possible that neither set may prove, it's significant for us to know where we are with respect to the process of amendment with respect to what we have right now. And that's what I want to talk about in just a second, real briefly. It's clear, as Phil said, that our protective covenants require a 3/4 vote of those voting to be amended, and our bylaws require a 2/3 vote of those voting to be amended. What is sometimes a hidden amendment that gets missed is what I'm going to talk about very briefly in just a second. When we think of amending protective covenant, it's obvious to us that if we change the words in here, we're amending the protective covenant. What's not so obvious to us is that if we go back here to Schedule A, which describes the property that is part of the protective covenants and is covered by the protective covenants, we have also effected an amendment to the protective covenants. And so part of this comment is very simply that it's become apparent to me that the board has considered dispositions of common property and other things as a means of raising money. It's very clear to me that if somebody comes along and wants to buy some common property, the board can't sell it. That kind of action requires a 3/4 vote under our protective covenants. That's going into our Schedule A, our Exhibit A, and deleting whatever portion that is and saying, okay, it's no longer part of our association property. Board can't do that. My feeling and I think it's pretty clear, the Metal Canyon Road is the same issue. That requires a 3/4 vote. We own that road right now. And if we're going to take our authority off that road and give it to the county perpetually, it's a transfer of an asset out of our association that is covered by our protective covenants, and it requires a 3/4 vote. I don't know that we've kind of danced around that, and I felt it's important that that be stated, because I, as a member, would specifically object to any disposition of assets of the association on terms that are in violation of protective covenants, and they require a 3/4 vote, and the road is one of our assets. Having said that, there are, I didn't want to get into the rest of this really, but having said that, there are a lot of things that are potentially available in the common properties as resources for raising revenues. If we'd had our crystal balls working, we could have had those reservoirs up. We could have made a lot of money on cattle this summer. Well, we didn't know, And so I'm not finding fault there, but absolutely, the common properties are available for resource, but no, they can't be sold without a 3/4 vote, and the conveyance to the county, in my judgment, requires 3/4 ratification by the membership.